You can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. So I'm using a reference of Christmas this morning, but it's not really a Christmas message. This message is about faith. I've asked the mics to be a little bit hotter, and I'm going to talk a little bit quieter this morning to add something a little different to the message. But in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, this is the story of when the angel Gabriel met Mary. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." As I read that story, a standalone verse jumped out at me that I hadn't really saw before. It's verse 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." It's not included with another verse. It's not added to the story. It's just boom right there. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And as I pondered this story, I thought to myself, what fact did God use to convince Mary that the angel was telling the truth? What was it? What did she say that clicked with Mary? And from what I see, it's that Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant in her old age. Something that was not possible happened. And Mary then accepting that truly with God all things are possible. And I really connected, and I guess I can say love. I don't know, maybe that's too loose of a word. But I really love Mary's response in verse 38. It says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed. Again, our key text this morning and the title to the message is, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say it with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So this morning, when I say verse 37, I want you to repeat that back to me. When I say verse 37, everyone is going to say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Okay, so everybody that was out all night hunting foxes and all those who were caregiving to infants and all the grandpas and grandmas, everyone has to stay alert and be ready, because throughout this message, I'm going to say verse 37, and then everybody's going to say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Okay, so no sleepers this morning, okay. So back to the story of Mary and the angel. Mary responded just like we would probably have responded. When we hear of something amazing, what do you say first? Yeah, wow. How's that going to happen? That's pretty much what Mary said. Because when I hear something truly outlandish and impossible, I say, really? How will that happen? And this is pretty much what Mary said to the angel. She said, how can this be since I do not know a man? And Mary, like us, we get caught up in the how. And we miss, like Mary did, the most amazing part of what the angel said. The amazing part is found in verse 32. The angel said, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary just heard verse 31. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Mary just heard that part, and she said, how? Mary was human, much like we are. God still gives visions, and he still gives dreams, and he still calls folks to greatness today for his name's sake, and yet so often our first response is, how is that going to happen, God? What an ironic question. How is that going to happen, God? Does anybody else see some humor in that statement? How are you going to do that, God? It's kind of a little bit crazy of a question, but yet I believe ours is not to know all. It's to believe. Verse 37. For nothing is impossible, nothing, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I said it wrong. You guys got it right. For with God, nothing will be impossible. This sermon is not intended for you to jump off a bridge. It's not for you to hear this word and receive and go, yep, this is, we got to leap in faith. This sermon from my heart is to be a solid stepping stone for you to move in whatever God direction God is calling you. To be maybe a confirmation, to be, I don't give specifics, but I do believe God is calling some of us to do things for him. And so back to the story, it says, yes, Mary was very much like us as she questioned how. And then as we read the story, it's as if God softened her heart right in the middle of her dialogue with the angel, and Mary accepts the angel's statement as fact. Mary turns quickly from how will this be to faith. One of the unique things about Mary is that, you know, she didn't go see Elizabeth first and then she believed. No, Mary believed the angel first and then she went to see Elizabeth. Mary's faith was confirmed with Elizabeth. Mary's faith was not born out of fact. She believed first, and then she beheld the facts. And I believe that's what God's calling some of us here to today. Now, yes, I know that there was Thomas, one of the 12 disciples that needed to see with his own eyes, and he needed to touch with his own hands the wounds of our risen Savior. But that's only one in 12. I believe there's many of us are here to have the faith of Mary and of Joseph here this morning. And this is a wonderful story here from Luke 1. The story of Mary and the two visits. First, the angel visits Mary. And then Mary visits Elizabeth. And this is the story of Mary's faith. You see, Mary's world was about to be turned upside down. But before the rug was ripped out from under her, God built up her faith so that she could endure. First, God sent an angel, and then God confirmed through her aunt Elizabeth's word. God is gracious, and he did not give Mary more than she could handle. Did Mary understand everything? No. She did not fully grasp. But that did not stop Mary from accepting through faith what God had planned for her. It did not stop Mary from believing, not knowing everything. The unknown did not stop her faith. If you've ever found yourself at a spot where you needed more info than what God was giving, read the story of Mary's faith again. This story will grow your faith, especially when you get to verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, Joseph had faith too. He didn't just believe Mary. Yes, I'm sure Mary's testimony helped his unbelief, but like us, in so many ways, Joseph needed his own faith. So Joseph's faith is found in Matthew 1, and you can turn to that. In Matthew 1, starting in verse 18, we see the story of Joseph's faith. In Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while she thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' And then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Interesting fact as we look at these two stories of faith is that Mary received a visit from an angel and Joseph received a dream. God knew what each one needed to build their faith. God knew what each one needed to build their faith. And God knows what you need to grow your faith as well. In fact, in most cases, when God builds your faith, something is coming into your life where you will need to use your newly grown faith. And God does not act randomly. It may feel that way to you and I, but his purposes are beyond our understanding. In fact, as I thought about this, I don't know if you can concur, but the statement that I wrote was 99% of the time, we, or at least I, do not see God's rationale or reasoning until we are looking back. Most of the time, we don't understand what God's doing until we look back. Mary and Joseph received enough faith to accept God's will, and that was it. The story of Jesus was not completely told to Mary and Joseph. There were many, many details that were not given about the birth and the life and even the death and resurrection of Jesus, going with the information that they had, Mary and Joseph truly believed. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Another interesting fact about Mary and Joseph's faith is that their faith did not bring closure or understanding to anyone else. Mary and Joseph had faith, but their faith did not change the world around them. It just changed their hearts. Their faith didn't change the judgmental stares at an unwed mother. Their faith did not open any rooms for them except a dirty stable. Their faith did not give their newborn any safety from an angry king they still had to flee to Egypt. Their faith did not change the world around them. Their faith just changed their heart. Their faith enabled them to accept their crumbling world. How many times have you and I wanted our faith to fix the world? Please, God, fix this. I have the faith. Why can't you fix this mess? From the story of Mary and Joseph this morning, we see that God is not interested in fixing the world. He just wants to fix your heart in the world. I fear that I often hope and pray that Jesus, the King, would reign now. He is not. When Jesus does reign, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus did not come to reign physically on earth. This is what the disciples thought. And when we read those passages today, we laugh at the naivety of the disciples. They thought Jesus was going to reign and bring his kingdom to earth, and he was going to destroy Rome and get rid of the Roman army. How funny and clueless we think as we smile when we read those verses. And yet in our minds, we want Jesus to fix America. Sometimes I feel just as funny and clueless as the first disciples. What does Jesus fix on earth? He fixes hearts. God fixed by way of faith Mary's heart so that she could believe and carry on her God-given mission in this world. And Joseph's heart was fixed by faith so that he could do what he needed to do to bring about God's purpose for him on earth. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to dwell in and bring faith to your heart, not your country. Your faith enables you to live in this unfixed world. Yes, we are called to pray for our leaders in our nation. Yes, if God gives you the grace to vote, please by all means follow his leading. But please do not be disappointed if he does not fix this world. For Christ came to fix our heart, not our nation. And yes, Christ came for every nation. He, for every tribe and every creed. He came for every one heart. He came for every one believer. He came for every one at a time. What a daunting task. It's kind of like hoeing beans. When I was 18, I found myself at my second cousin's house. They were Knopf singers. And they were my second cousins because their grandfather and my grandfather were brothers, and so I called them second cousins. I'm not sure exactly, but I knew them well. And they were in the Archibald and West Unity area of northwestern Ohio, and my second cousins were farmers. Their dad's name was Cloyce. And Cloyce asked me while I was standing there if I wanted to hoe beans. I said, sure, I can hoe beans. Yeah, let's hoe beans. So he drove the farm truck around front and had a whole bunch of hose in it and some water jugs, and me and my cousin Wendell and Kevin Knopfsinger, we jumped in the back of the truck. We went down the road 5 minutes and picked up their other cousins. Now, their other cousins would have been Cloyce's sister, so they had a different last name, but their first name was Clayton, Clancy, and Clinton. And their last name was Four. So we just called them the 3-4 boys. We couldn't tell them much apart looking at them, so we just called them the 3-4 boys. So all six of us, somewhere the boys between 15 and probably 22, we went out to hoe beans. And I just thought this was going to be tremendous. I mean, all of us in one pickup truck going down the road in the back, I thought it was going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time. I knew it. And then the truck stopped, and all the hose got thrown on the ground, and people grabbed a water jug, and some of them tucked it in their belt, some of them hooked it on the end of their hoe, and the truck disappeared, and my cousins didn't say a word. They just went off the road into some field and started hoeing. And I looked around and said, where are the beans? They said, these are beans. And all of a sudden I realized that knee-high plants looked the same right and left, and everywhere was all beans. I said, do you mean we have to hoe all these beans? And they said, well, no, this field's not that bad. You can see the end. I said, I can't see the end of those beans. He said, yeah, see those trees down there? That's the end of the field. I said, well, how are we going to hoe all these beans? He said, well, it's not bad. This is just a 10-acre field. I said, 10 acres? We can't hoe 10 acres of beans. I came a little unglued. Just hoeing 10 acres of beans was ridiculous. He said, well, we dropped off in the middle because we started down there last week. I said, wait a minute. You guys hoed this field before? He said, yeah, a few times. Whew. I never considered myself a city boy until right then. I couldn't fathom. I said, how do you hoe 10 acres of beans? And I had to yell because they were getting farther away from me. You know, I was like pulling up my phone, Snapchatting, and complaining to all my friends. No, we didn't have phones. We didn't even know what cell service was. I didn't have a watch. We didn't eat till the truck came back. I learned why they took their jugs with them. Because you're hoeing beans knee high, you turn around, you can't find your jug. So they hoed beans. And I yelled, how do you hoe 10 acres of beans? And one of the boys shouted back, said, keep your head down. Don't pass one weed looking for another weed and hoe in your own row. And I said something. I don't know what it was, but I clearly remember that no one responded. It just felt like an impossible task. Has anybody here hoed in more than 10 acres of beans? One, two, three? Okay. Yeah. It's fairly daunting. And so does winning the whole world one heart at a time feel almost impossible. And yet, we have verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. One at a time, remove the weeds. One at a time, win the souls. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep your head down. Keep hold of the hoe. Hoe in your own row. Don't go past a weed looking for another weed. Mary and Joseph had to hoe in their own row. They stayed focused no matter what came. And there was a lot that came down in adversary against Mary and Joseph. They drew their strength for their future as they recalled how faithful God had been with them in the past. They lived verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Mary and Joseph moved forward in their faith even when they did not have the whole story. What a lesson for you and I. I think I need to know everything before I move. But looking at the story of Mary and Joseph, if I knew everything before I had to move in faith, I wouldn't need as much faith, would I? Part of growing your faith is starting to move, trusting God before you see the whole picture. Part of our distraction that keeps us from winning one soul for Christ is the fact that we're standing in acres and acres of beans that need weeding. I get so depressed as I look at the whole world in such a mess. And sometimes I miss my neighbor that needs a friend. God is not asking you to weed the whole world. He is asking you to pull one weed. You can share your reason for the hope that is in you with one person you meet. You can. That is not so daunting. And remember verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again for your word, that it does encourage us oftentimes in tender little ways, that it, your word kind of pokes and prods and maybe even pushes us. And yet it still feels gentle because it's from you and your spirit, God. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're patient with us. God, help us to move in a way that brings your name glory and honor. And give us the faith that we need to live our lives for you. God, for some of us here, it may be something big. It may be a big change. And for others of us here, it may be an afternoon at the neighbor's. God, we each have our own row. And you have given us the ability to reach out and reach others for Christ. God, we know sometimes we can't even see the other end, and help us to be okay with that. Help us to have the faith to begin. God, we rely on you for strength. We rely on your word for encouragement. God, help us also to encourage one another as we are on this road together, a journey of faith, that your word would continue on from generation to generation, that the world would be different because of the one person that we told. Give us your strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in closing song?